Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. Today it is just me. My energy levels are actually pretty low. I'm a little tired today. And okay, so let's see. What do I want to talk about? Well, first of all, my ex-husband is getting married this coming weekend, and I'm very, very, very excited for many, many reasons. But one is because he's marrying an incredible woman. She is, I brag about her, like I'm marrying her. It's crazy. She's like, she's this neurosurgeon who is just smart, gorgeous, kind. And my son, Shane, is about to get an incredible stepmom. So I'm just very happy to have her be part of the family. And I've got Jada here right now. She's rolling so I can pet her belly because Shane and my ex-husband, Jason, they're already in San Francisco. They left yesterday. And I am dog watching Jada. But this weekend, 8:31 and 9:01, I'm at Atlantic City Comedy Club at the Tropicana. I'm headlining four different shows. So it's Friday and Saturday, the 7 and the 9, and I would love to see you guys there. And let me tell you something, after the 9 o'clock shows, the dancing there is insane. It's at a club. So the club Kiss Kiss at the Tropicana, it becomes Atlantic City Comedy Club up until about 11, and then the dancing is insane. And you know I fucking busted out. So anyone who wants to come and see an amazing comedy show, and then if you're going to the 9, you want to dance later, please, please come out. It's Labor Day weekend, and we're going to have some fun. And during those 2 days, a neighbor is going to be watching the Jada pup who I'm petting right now. And the neighbor has a cute dog that Jada's already friends with. So Jada's going to hopefully be happy. But anyway, okay, so my ex-husband is getting married. I'm very excited. It's crazy, right? So a lot of people are like, why are you so excited? Like, why would I not want my ex-husband to be happy? Like, him and I were not meant for each other, obviously, but like, I still want the best, not just for him, but like really everyone. Like, we often get in this lack mentality where we think we want like revenge, or if someone's sad, that means we're happier. And it's just not how it works. Like, the more the people around me are fulfilled and happy, the more I'm also fulfilled and happy. It works like that because we're all connected. So anyway, I'm just very, very excited. And it's an Indian wedding. So they're going to be doing like the full ceremony or ceremonies and all of that. And I'm excited for Shane to send me pictures because he's wearing the garb. So is everyone. So like my ex-in-laws, who I'm still fairly close with in a way, they're all going, and I'm very happy and excited. So that's one bit. It's just like a big moment. Like, my ex-husband's getting married. I don't know. Like, it's exciting. Okay. So let's talk about twin flames, because as everyone knows, I'm obsessed with the concept, but it's truth and it's starting to ping everywhere. Like, I don't know if you've guys noticed, but it's like becoming more and more mainstream now, the term twin flames. A lot of people are using it or talking about it. And I'll just say, okay, so a famous couple that got divorced 2 years ago, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Now, when he was with Jennifer Aniston, I did not yet know, well, I guess we all know on a deep level, but I didn't know about twin flames. But I just thought, you know, that they fit together, him and Jen, although I think the energy died out for whatever reason. Not like died out, but something got a little bit stagnant with the two of them. Something happened, right? And then he met Angelina Jolie on set. I think it was like for Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I guess their chemistry exploded, and obviously he left Jen for her, whatever, whatever. But ultimately, I don't think that they are, I feel very deeply that Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are not twin flames. And one thing that you can see is often when you're dating someone who's not your twin flame, one of the parties can start looking like the other one's twin flame. So Brad Pitt, by the end of that 10-year marriage, he kind of looks a little bit like Billy Bob Thornton. And I think Billy Bob and Angelina Jolie are twin flames. I mean, the two of them like wore vials of each other's blood around their necks. Like, I remember, I love Angelina Jolie, actually, but I know who she is. Like, she was in Gia. She's got a lot more, like, I guess, like, sexy goth, you could say. Like, do you remember her in that? I'm forgetting the name of the movie, but she was, like, in a psych ward with, God, it was the girl, Brittany. I'm messing up everyone's last names and or first names, whatever. But they were just... She was, I feel like Angelina Jolie just has a little bit more of this like gothy thing. And Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, like when they're together, they look more like themselves. And I do believe that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston are twin flames. And first of all, right now, Jada completely just grabbed my hand to hold it. It was so distracting. I love you, Jada. I love you. Okay. All right. Next thing. Oh, yes. That's what I just wanted to say is that often, when you're in a relationship that's not your twin flame, one of the partners or both starts to try, they start changing themselves a bit because they can feel what the other one wants. And that's why true twin flame matches are all about authenticity. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, we all want love and we all want to be ourselves, whatever that means. But because of historical wounds, we've all gotten a little bit tripped up and messed up because growing up, I mean, how many of us felt completely, completely safe to be our full selves? Even if you had a decent family life, you could end up going to elementary or middle or high school, and it's not always easy to be totally yourself in those environments. So a lot of us are still figuring out who we even are. A lot of men who, you know, define themselves by a more toxic masculinity, they're starting to heal that and actually come into themselves. And it's the same with women, where women who were also a product of the toxic masculinity, they started turning themselves into what they thought men would want, whether it was consciously or unconsciously. We're in an environment where it's patriarchal, but it's shifting. And that's what the Sri Yantra is about. It's Sriyantra, Sri Yantra. It's sacred geometry for the balancing of the sacred divine masculine and the sacred divine feminine. It's balancing out, which is good for every single human. So men, even though it's the divine feminine coming back, this benefits you too, because when the feminine's allowed to actually come back, the feminine within all of us can finally have a place. And it's also for women though, because it's about women being allowed to really allow their divine masculine to balance in there. Sorry, I'm laughing because Jada is just like literally rolling all over me. I know you're a queen supreme. I know. We got her a flea collar finally because I found a couple fleas on her last week and I freaked out. Like, I do not mess with fucking fleas. Okay. Like, I am so girly when it comes to bugs. Like first of all, I don't want to kill them if I can avoid it, but some of these fleas had to go. So Jada went to my ex-husband's house with Shane and they gave her like the full flea bath treatment and got her a collar. So I'm just happy she's, and the collar smells like essential oils. It's like peppermint collar. Like, I love it. Anyway, sorry. Okay. I was talking about the Sri Yantra and the divine feminine and masculine balancing, and it's just fucking awesome. It's going to benefit everyone if you can allow it in. And those of you who are fighting it, that fucking sucks. And first of all, if you're fighting it too much, you're probably not listening to this podcast. But there are some people, and now I'm going to be a little stereotypy, but like, let's take like some areas of the Midwest where like there's a lot still of like cultural conformity, we'll say. Being progressive isn't as quote unquote cool, but a lot of people there are actually really starting to pick up on this as well. Because once again, on the deepest level, we all just want to have freedom and liberation to be ourselves. We want to be in our power and we want to be seen for who we truly are. We want to feel good. And I think that's what's making people want to evolve and want to shift. And the people who are fighting it, once again, there's a quote from the Bible, let the dead bury the dead. And I know that sounds really callous, but it's like the people who want to stay stuck in a really hateful vibration, that's going to get to them, whether it's through an awful road rage fight. Like, everyone is going to hit their limits if they're refusing to evolve and really look at the truth, which is going to be positive for everyone. because the truth is just the truth. We want truth. We want to be who we are. We want to be in reality. We just had to shift that due to trauma from being a child and just being alive, right? Like, I mean, some people have definitely worse childhoods than others or more traumatic, but I think all of us at some point in time have felt some real trauma. And sometimes it's really subtle. That's the other thing is like, because we're in a society where it's like, don't be a weenie, just do it. I posted a video on Facebook, man. It was about this like fucking gym teacher who dragged by the hair one of his girl students who didn't want to get into the water because she didn't want to get her hair wet. And that's fine for me. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. If someone doesn't want to go in the water or get their hair wet, leave them the fuck alone. Like, let them do what they want. But this fucking gym teacher who's steeped in this old patriarchal energy of like the patriarchal energy is also like, oh, come on, suck it up, just do it. Who gives a fuck? Like that, it's like overriding a real beautiful, subtle sensitivity. So if this girl doesn't want to get her hair wet, she has every right to stay true to that thing. And I think that's what's going to have to shift for all of us is like allowing your subtle pains and annoyances, even if they don't make sense logically, there's a deep system you need to honor, even if your brain can't fully place it somewhere yet. So it's hopefully all of us are going to start just being like, hey, I can't go to that party. I just don't have the energy. Or sorry, I'm going to have to charge more for my services. Or sorry, I need more space in this dynamic. Or whatever you need. Like, you're just allowed to say whatever it is you need. And if someone else gets mad, that's on them, because they have to work on their ability to set their boundaries and say no when they want to say no. And I can't wait for all of us to live from this place, because it's going to be, we're going to be in the flow. We'll really be riding the wave of our own transference and landing within ourselves. And once you're really anchored and rooted in yourself, you don't get as swept up in the storms. So, and I obviously have said this and used this analogy, but it's like actual trees, how it takes time for them to really, really root deep into the soil. And that way, when storms come, they can withstand the winds. So that's what we're doing as humans as well. And in my amazing school, A Society of Souls, they teach you the tree of life, which are qualities of consciousness that you flow through. It's like pre-existing qualities before manifestation, we'll say. So I just love, though, how it's the tree of life and how, in a sense, we're all trees within trees, within trees, within trees. Okay, what else did I want to say? Oh, and the other thing, back to the twin flame thing. What's so amazing about twin flame love is it's the kind of love that we've all wanted to just like die for, in a sense. Like, it's in the movies, it's that thing. And then many of us told ourselves, oh, that's not real. That was just a fairy tale. It's not just a fairy tale. It's real. We can have this kind of love, but this love is directly connected to our spiritual ascension. So you can't just have it without going really and truly deeply within. And that's why it's so testing, because your twin flame is this mirror who shows you back your own flaws, quote unquote flaws, because they're not real flaws, but it shows you back places within yourself that you have yet to want to integrate or face. So it can be very, very hard. And trust me, like, I get it. Like, having these qualities mirrored back to you, it's really hard. And I personally have fallen into blame my whole life. So my work is to get triggered and look at it in myself. And it's been the most amazing gift for me to be able to get so triggered, want to blame, and then go, nope, nope, nope. This is a mirror dimension. It's reflecting back to me, and go in. And whether or not I can directly locate the exact place, I start to get an idea of, oh, this is what I do. That's a similar energy system. And it's hard, because ultimately we want to be these perfect beings, but we're not. And it's all good. It's okay to not be perfect, as long as you're willing to look and see and grow every time, or as best you can. And yeah, it's a beautiful journey. And I really appreciate those of you who listen and not just follow mine, but are on yours as well, and how much, yeah, we're all connected and linked. So it's pretty rad. Okay, so I have this stand-up video up on my YouTube channel. It's like Kate Wolf at Axis Gotham Live, AXS. And like, it has a decent amount of views. It has like 30,000. And the set was a good one. It wasn't my, you know, best ever. They had a hair and makeup woman, and she did my makeup. And right before I went on stage, I like did something with my teeth because I get nervous. So I like bite my lip and stuff. So I like was doing that. And then I get on stage and like, it's like on TV live, and I just have lipstick like smudged across my whole teeth. Like it's a mess. Anyway, it was a good set still, but like when I watch it, I cringe because it's just lipstick all over my teeth. It's unreal. Anyway, so when I get comments either on that video or any video on my channel, if they're really mean, I delete them. And there's a part of me that goes, no, you should leave it. And I go, why the fuck would I leave someone's? It's like someone coming in like to my house, taking a shit and leaving. Like, I'm going to get rid of the shit. Like, no thanks. So like, now if it's like moderately mean, I do leave it. If it's like a real critique of a joke in a way that doesn't feel, yeah, like a knife going into my stomach, then whatever. But like the really mean ones, like if you're calling me a bitch or a cunt or something in that realm, I'm deleting it. Like, get the fuck out of here. This, you know, you're going to get that triggered from seeing a woman you don't know doing stand up. Like, get a fucking life. So I delete it. So on the AXS video, someone wrote, they were like 30,000 views and no negative comments. This bitch deletes her. Like, he went off about me deleting my comments, which is like hysterical, and it almost bullied me into keeping it. And I was like, no, fuck you. Like, I'm allowed to delete whatever negative comments you leave either on my Facebook page, Instagram, YouTube, wherever. If I'm able to delete it and you write something pretty almost abusive sounding, get the fuck out of here. Like, you're not going to bully me into keeping that on my page. So I found that really interesting. And it's linked to this other thing I was saying, like with the gym teacher dragging this girl into the pool who didn't want to get her hair wet. Like, you're allowed to honor your sensitivity. You're allowed to take care of yourself. So if a person's writing something mean to me or saying it, bye. And it's the same freaking thing for the girl. Well, the girl unfortunately was in high school, and there she, I guess, didn't have say. That's the thing. It's like this power tripping thing. We're all in this weird, because we forget we're animals. A lot of times we're fighting for the quote unquote alpha place without realizing it. It's like, if someone says no, it means no. Like, I don't give a fuck if you're their teacher or their fucking queen, you know, if you're in England or whoever the fuck it is. If someone says no and it makes them uncomfortable, it's a no. And we have to learn and give ourselves the love to say, I'm allowed to say no. Because even though I can say this stuff, I still get really anxious and nervous if I set a boundary with someone that I really care about or don't want to hurt their feelings or whatever. But at the end of the day, you have to set your boundaries and do what's right for you. It's really the only way. Self-love is just so, so, so important in all of this. And taking care of yourself and getting the support you need. When you hold in a ton of emotion or your true real story and you're only keeping it to yourself, you're going to explode. So make sure you have at least a couple friends or a healer or a therapist that you can really tell your stuff to. Because if you're holding it all in, it just becomes too hard. And I've had to really, really learn that lately. And I said this already on the podcast like 2 times ago, how I went to my close friend's house, Amelia and Ankara. They've both been on the podcast. If you want to listen to their episode, it's New York Comedy Club Airlines, which I really actually hope manifests. But I went there and I just burst out crying. Like, I didn't expect to cry there, but I'd been holding in so much pain, so much anguish, and so much of my truth that I just like, whoom, it came out. And they were just there for me. You know, like, I think they were a little shocked, like, whoa, the dam broke. But they were there. And like, I don't think they judged me, but even if judgment came up, that's okay too. Because at the end of the day, we're allowed to be who we are. And sometimes we judge, every single one of us. It is okay if you sometimes judge. Just also use it to go back in. Jada, what are you doing? Oh, she's like looking at her paws. Sometimes I wish I could give her dog shoes, but dogs don't really like shoes. But like, sometimes I see her chewing at her paws and I'm like, oh, does it hurt? You know? Anyway. Okay. Let's get into true authenticity and the subconscious. a lot of us are still working from these subconscious places deep within. And the way to start really working with your subconscious is really, really listening to the dark voices that come up. So for example, if someone is talking to you and they're annoying you, or they're doing something annoying, or you get annoyed, you don't have to act on it. You don't have to say it to them unless you want to. And if you somehow have mastered that delicately, but at least honoring the place within that goes, ugh, shut up. Or, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that, or whatever. Like, you just look at it, because that's going to happen to every single one of us, whether it's a work situation, friends, romance, kids, whatever it is, just being honest. So let's take parenting, for example. It has been so hard being a parent and making space for the darker subconscious thoughts that come through, because sometimes you're exhausted, and sometimes you need space, and sometimes you've had enough. And being a parent, whether you're working or staying at home, whatever it is, it's hard. And we often compare, right? Well, it's like, oh, well, I work all day and you stay at home. Like, you don't have any right to be upset. Like, those kinds of belief systems are done. It's bullshit. Okay. You are allowed to have your journey. And if it's stressful, you're allowed to voice it. Even if someone's like, what? Why are you stressed? All you have to do is blah, blah, blah. Like, don't let people tell you your path. Only you know how sensitive you are and how much you can and can't take on. So just start honoring and, like, give yourself breaks if you need breaks. It's fine. Okay, let me tell you about my new internet love, Danielle Bregoli. She's actually the Cash Me Outside, How About That girl. And I remember seeing her, I guess, like 3 or something years ago on Dr. Phil. Well, she became really popular. I remember Shane was saying it or something. He was like, Cash Me Outside, How About That? And I was like, what? And then I went on the Dr. Phil episode and watched it. And like, everyone was like, kind of like, not just making fun of her, but treating her like she was this crazy girl who was too wild or something. Like, and I really liked her. Like, I got it, because growing up, I was this sweet, quote unquote, I was going to say quote unquote white girl, but I guess I am white, but you know what I mean? Like, I was this like, aw, but then like, I had this insane rage that like, when it came out, people were like, whoa, where did that come from? Meanwhile, no one really knew about the real emotional abuse that I was going in both of my households. And no one really almost believed me to an extent. So there were so many times where, especially with my mom, like, I was acting out like her. Like, my mom and I have been fighting since I was like 8. Like, I was calling her a cunt and a bitch and all these things, because it was really fucking bad. And my mom and I have done a ton of work, and I love her to pieces. She is incredible. But we've had to do a ton of work over the years to get to where we're at now. And she will come on this podcast eventually. She has to be ready to talk about her journey and what she endured. And when she's told me, she's like, when I'm ready, she will. So she will be on. It's going to be a very intense episode. I don't want to fight with her on it either, because like I said, like, her and I used to fight, and I seemed like this fucking ghetto chick. Like, where's this coming from? Meanwhile, no one understood like why I was. And when I say ghetto, I don't even mean like racially, but like, I'd be in public calling my mom like a bitch and a cunt. Like, it seemed like real. I'll just say even like white trash, you know what I mean? Like, whatever you want to call that thing. It was like, whoa, look at this girl disrespecting her mom. Meanwhile, they had no fucking idea what I was going through, and how much I had to defend and protect myself using tough armor like that. So when I saw Danielle Bregoli, I got her. I understood. And they were, it's like almost they were like surprised where it was coming from. And I'm like, she's getting this from somewhere. Like, and I just liked her. Like, she was kind of bomb. Like, she was like real. She called the whole Dr. Phil audience hoes. And I thought that was so funny, because they were doing like the, oh, ooh. Like, they were doing all the judgmentals, like eyeing and ooing. And Danielle Bregoli, she's like 13, and she's like calling out the hoes in the audience. I was like, yo, this girl's amazing. I just liked her. And then I didn't really hear much about her. And then I'm on Instagram, and I freaking love, 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 a lot of these like dance videos. They have like a lot of these amazing studios, I think, in like LA. I know they have them in New York City too, but the ones in LA, I think, have a lot of space and they're just whatever. They have a ton of amazing dance videos. So this one comes up and I'm listening to the song and it's called Gucci Flip Flops. And I just fucking loved it. I was like, who sings this? So I YouTube it and it's Bad Baby, but it's spelled B-H-A-D and then baby is B-H-A-B-I-E. So I was like, huh? Like, who is this? And I was like, oh my God, this is Danielle Bregoli. She's like a rapper now and she's fucking fire. She is incredible. And she has this one video, Gucci Flip Flops. You have to see the YouTube actual like official video. It's incredible. Like, what an artist. And I love the song. Like, I've been listening to the song nonstop. It's amazing. It's like, Gucci flip flops, fuck it, hit your bitch in my socks. So like, it's so good. You just have to listen to it. And the video is all kind of what I've been talking about too. It's like the suburban family zoning out, watching the TV. And then this rapper comes on who's actually Danielle Bregoli, but she's also acting as one of the girl child in the suburban home. So she's like watching herself on the TV and it's amazing. It's like these uptight white people and then it shows them loosening up. I don't want to give anything away, but like what a fucking video. And I just love her. So yeah, I love Danielle Bregoli. And one of my friends, after I put out Labia Games, she came up to me. She was really harsh about it, but she was like, you need a rap coach. And honestly, Danielle Bregoli, if you ever hear this, I would be honored to have you be my rope coach. I would love a rope course coach as well, but I don't know if Danielle can do that. But a rap coach, that would be phenomenal. So, yeah, I would love that. She's just amazing, and I just, yeah. So, but I was definitely surprised by my love for Danielle Bregoli because I'd seen her years ago, and then suddenly Gucci Flip Flops comes on, and I was like, yo, this rapper is dope. My son Shane Sudia, please follow him on Instagram. He has an Instagram and he would love more followers. I think it's like Shane_Sudia. You can find him on mine, but which is at the Kate Wolf. But anyway, so my baby Shane Sudia turned 12 last Wednesday. How fucking awesome. My baby is 12. I cannot believe it. Yeah, he's just amazing. And he had his birthday party at Altitude, which is a trampoline park, and it is fucking incredible. So my ex-husband, shout out to him, Jason, he basically put it together. I got the cake. Shane wanted a Shrek cake. So you know they have some places where they can take like any photograph you have and put it on a cake? So ShopRite does that. So Shane wanted Shrek coming out of an outhouse on his cake. I mean, how fucking funny is that? I have a picture of it on my Instagram, but I was like, really, this is what you want? So I took care of the cake and stuff, and also helped invite people, but my ex paid for this awesome birthday party, and some of my friends came with their kids, and even we were jumping and like trying out. It's amazing. Like this, it brings out the inner kid in you, because when you're a kid, you're jumping, you don't give a fuck, and then you get made fun of, right? And you like kind of like, you stop dancing as much or jumping as much, and fuck that. So like this part kind of brings out your inner child, and man, it was just an amazing birthday party, and Shane had such a good time. He's so good too. Like he was doing all these flips and I'm just like so proud of him. Yeah. And I'm really excited. Like I said, that he's about to have a really cool stepmom. So I texted her the other day and I was just like, I'm so happy that you're going to be part of the family. And she was really cute back. So I can't, you know what? I think I'm going to post a picture of the two of them after they get married. I want everyone to see my ex-husband and my new, I don't even know what to call her. I'm going to call her almost like, I don't know, but she already feels like family. So even if she doesn't want me to be her family, I really love her. So yeah, so Altitude was fun. And I recommend going to a trampoline park for any, get a group of friends, even adults, go jump, loosen your asses up. I'm included in this. Like wait till I'm fully open and I start dancing for real. Like I'm going to be, I used to dance. I was a maniac when I was younger. I was just dancing all the time and I got yelled at because a lot of times it was too sexual. So like I'd be like 8 or 9, just like breaking it down in public and everyone would be like, okay, you know, so I can't wait to really bring it back. It's going to be awesome. And this leads us into a great topic. porn. Let's talk about porn for a little bit. So I have been watching some again. I've been celibate for 2 years and my sex drive is kind of coming back to life and I don't want to completely suppress it. But porn definitely is something that I, quote unquote, struggle with because I want to claim my sexuality, but there are many videos out there that are dissociated feeling there. Well, a lot of porn is very tilted to the masculine where you can tell the girl's not even really enjoying herself. And then it's like, it's like that kind of thing. And you're just like, oh, like I can't, it has to feel, somewhat authentic. And also I can't have someone in like for real pain either, but I've been really allowing myself to go on. I use X videos, so I allow myself to go on there and really feel into what's drawing me. And I can't, like, I have to do, sometimes I put in fucking searches that I'm like, oh God, like dear Christ, but I allow myself to be who I am. But then I also try to only pick videos that still feel, less dissociated, and it's hard. And every time I'm always feeling weird about it. But like I said, I've been celibate for 2 years and I need to have some sexuality. So I've been working on watching it, but in a way that's a lot more conscious and not beating myself up. And it's been quite the journey trying to have a healing and awakening relationship to porn and what place it has in my life. And that will be ever shifting, especially when I start having sex again with a human. It'll be real interesting to see how that fits into my relationship with him. It'll be cool. Like I'm looking forward to exploring my sexuality on a deep level as I continue to heal. And there was like, it's so crazy. There was one porn that like popped up on the X videos page. It was nuts. It was like a thumbnail. I did not click on it. It was like the Porn Olympics. It was like three dudes literally sitting on each other's laps. Like each was giving the other one a dick. It was insane. So one guy had his dick in the other guy's ass, and then he had his dick in another guy's ass, and then that guy was fucking a chick. And I was like, it didn't even look enjoyable at all. It literally looked like a cheerleading stunt. And I was like, dude, that's not even like, I don't know. I just was like, get out of here. But for those of you who want to check it out, watch it, do what you need to do. Spiritually heightened sex. I have in that note, dudes, that's what we all really want. I get sex, and I'm a very sexual person, and I'm very much looking forward to entering my twin flame union so I can just fucking go to town. You know what I mean? However, like with that being said, if it's not with someone that I'm that deeply in love with, it's so not worth it. And look, I'm not saying you all have to be there. If you want to have casual sex that's not like totally trashy, but in the middle, do your thing. But honestly, all of that stuff just doesn't feel good after a while. You hit a limit so quickly with that, because like I said, we're all yearning for that beautiful, deep in love thing. It makes us feel alive. So like, go and do your thing, but like breaking up no matter what hurts. And we can all lie and be like, oh, sex doesn't mean anything, blah, 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 blah. It does. And you bond and you connect and you end up having to, in one form or another, breaking up with a person. And it just like, yeah, when's the last time I had to do that? I had to do that I dated someone for like 2-3 weeks and, I entered it being like, oh, this is going to just be an easy fling thing. Whatever. And of course I bonded, and the person's amazing. He's a great person, but he wasn't the one. And we knew that going in. And then you still, it's like your heart still gets ripped out because it's like getting really up close with death in a sense and loss. After that, really, I just decided, unless I for real know it's like my twin flame and I'm entering something both enlivening and yet safe, like I'm really being held and I can be my truest full self, whether it's in the bedroom or just not in the bedroom. Like, I don't want to settle for anything less than that. I know my worth and I know what I'm looking for. So it's like, until someone can And it's not just on them. Until I'm able to bring myself to the table and they're able to do the same in a way where I'm like, this is me, and they can also be like, this is me. Like, I don't want it then. Because then you're just having sex and you're pretending it's just a fun, easy night, and then next thing you know, you're crying in the fetal position. Like, I'm done. And that's for men and women, because we're both fucking sensitive, and I've seen it, and I know. So it's like watch The Notebook. Dudes are just as torn up over love as we are. So, you know, we've all just learned how to look cooler, even if we're dying inside. So I'm just like over it. I'm like, yo, I don't feel like dying inside again. Like, I'm ready to live the fuck out of my life. And that's why I'm so excited to be at the Tropicana this weekend. Like, I just got booked about 3 or 4 days ago, and I was like, oh my God, like, I need to have more fun in my life. I do have a lot of fun, but I've been going through so much. I mean, the 4-year program of a Society of Souls, it's amazing, but the transformation, it's like the caterpillar in the cocoon. It's like, ugh, I have spent so many days just feeling like crap and depressed, and I've done a lot of work. So I'm like really excited as I come through this to just be able to breathe and enjoy my life and take it in and feel good and to feel my worth inside, regardless of what anyone else is really doing in the external, just to know who I am and that I'm worth love and I'm worth good things. So yeah, I'm excited to live more and more from that place of feeling good and feeling worthy. I mean, who isn't, right? That's the journey. But let's see. One of my notes was, fleas, I don't fuck with you. But it's true. Oh yeah, this is the thing I forgot to say. So I had this really fuzzy, big, like a mini tarantula spider in my home the other day. I like walk up, it's on my ceiling, and I was like, oh, hell no. Like, I was like, no. Like, once again, I'm an animal lover. I don't like killing animals. Like, when I had mice, I like humane, here, when I had mice at my Westfield place, I would humane trap them, bring them out. Like, I would bring them to this, like, beautiful, basically a mouse resort. Like, I had to stop driving them there, because I was like, wait, I'm like a fucking mouse transportation for these people, or these mice, whatever. Anyway, so, like, I'm really kind and loving to animals, but when this fucking fuzzy-ass spider was on my ceiling, I was like, no, just a no. So I was like freaking out. Like, I got this big ass cup that I had, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't get close. I was scared it was like going to jump on my face or something. So Shane was here, thank God, and he did it. And he was like laughing at me. He was like, whoa, like, I am so freaked out. And fleas, like, I just can't. Like, I can't fuck with you, fleas. Like, you're not allowed to live on my dog in my house. Like, get the fuck out of here. Same goes to bed bugs and spider beetles. When I had that spider beetle issue, this was, I guess, how long ago was this? 2 years ago, when I was still living in Jersey City. I don't know if you know what spider beetles are, but you need to Google them shits. Like, they're just, it's like literally a cross between, it's like a spider, a beetle, and a bed bug. It's a no, okay? And I guess because at the time I was like eating chips while in my bed, like, everyone, do not eat food in bed. Like, it seems like a fun idea, but those crumbs attract bugs. And like, I'd been doing it and like didn't wash my sheets for like God knows how long. Oh my God. I had spider beetles living in my fucking mattress. Disgusting. So I found out because like they started biting my fucking face. So I thought it was like a spider bite, but it was like a spider beetle, which I guess is kind of like a spider. But Jesus Christ. So when I found out I was living with them, and my landlord at the time had to get a fucking exterminator and all this shit, like, I was in hell. I do not fuck with fleas, bugs, those things. Love all animal kingdom, for real. Like, even snakes, all of it. But like, snakes aren't allowed in my home either unless I bring you in and welcome you in. Okay. Because I am considering one day having a pet snake, but I want to make it a vegetarian. And everyone tells me you can't do that. I'm like, are you sure? Are we sure snakes can't be vegetarians? Like, is this really known? Like, if you're a snake expert on the real, not like some fucking internet snake expert, but like, if you own a bunch of snakes, I feel like some of the very less not venomous ones can eat on vegetation. I swear to God, I thought I heard that. My dad works for an amazing university, Arcadia University. It used to be Beaver College. When I was young, he had a woman who worked in like the reptile department, and she had this one snake Sammy. Her name was Gail Hearn. I hope it's okay that I said her name. But so she had this one snake, Sammy, and he was like my friend. He was so cute. Like, he would crawl over me. And that's like when I started talking to snakes, is then, is like, Sammy was so cute and like misunderstood. And I remember being this young girl, like holding him and being like, oh yeah, like people really don't understand snakes. Like, we're so creeped out because it's like lizards. They're just lizards, but without legs. Now, with that being said, do I want a snake I don't know crawling into my fucking home? No, I would freak the fuck out. So like with the animal kingdom, and I do have spiders in my house still, like the smaller ones, like whatever, like I'm cool with them, but like big fuzzy spiders, snakes, shit like that. Like, you're not welcome in my home unless I bring you in and you're like kind of my pet at that point. Like, I can't just have surprises. It scares the shit out of me. Those kinds of, can you imagine some people, like, I can't even imagine getting like a fuck, like, if, okay, I would love to have like a little pet raccoon somehow one day, but like, I don't want a raccoon just entering my house. I would lose my shit. Okay. So like, no surprises like that. No, thank you. Like, but yes, I still want to have raccoons and snakes and all of it. I mean, who doesn't? Okay. Man, I've done 40 minutes. I'm going to wrap up soon. Actually, I'm going to pull cards for you guys too. What I did want to say is I wanted to talk about channeling other realms. So I've gotten some questions about channeling. Let me explain to you how I would open it up. If you are curious about channeling for real, whether it's fairy dimensions, mermaid dimensions, your higher self, your twin flame, oh my God, there's so many dimensions. It's different alien dimensions, so many deities you can call on that you can open a channel to. So what I do, it really takes you trusting your intuition, and you're going to feel crazy at first. And I think that's the hardest part when it comes to channeling, is allowing the part of you that feels crazy to exist. And you just play with it in your head. You don't have to do this out loud in front of someone until you're ready, but you just open it up. So suppose you wanted to channel the fairy realm. You would connect to it. You know, you can close your eyes. You can keep them open too, but closing might help you. You close your eyes and you just connect to it, and you start to feel into and see and hear and almost taste the message that starts to come through to you. And once again, your stomach might go, oh my God, I'm crazy, I'm making this up, blah, blah. That's okay. You include those places, but you still allow the message to come through. And the more you do that exercise and the more you trust the message coming through, the more the channel can act, the real channel without your own ego becoming a part of it, can really flow in. So I've been practicing channeling, oh my gosh, how long? 6 or 7 years, maybe longer. I remember I started channeling after reading about Seth. Seth is an entity that was channeled a while ago, like a really amazing one. And then Abraham Hicks was like one of the first channels that I started really listening to. And I got put on to Abraham Hicks by one of my older friends who I used to be close with. She actually owns an incredible vegan coat company. Her designs are insane. It's called Vote Couture. So her and I we don't really talk anymore, but man, she is a badass with a badass fucking clothing company. So, but she's the one, like, her family, actually, they weren't that quote unquote spiritual, even though they were, and they loved Abraham Hicks. And then she told me about Abraham Hicks, and then I was like hooked. So, and that was like, I guess about like 6 or so years. I don't remember the exact, maybe 6 or 7. I don't know. It was a while ago, but that's when I started channeling, was, listening to Abraham Hicks. And then I started opening up to the spirit realms at that time. And now I do have some really clear channels to many different entities, beings, realms. And they keep opening up more and more. So it's pretty awesome. And I get a lot of visions. So a lot of my psychic abilities are tuning in big time. And because the more you trust yourself and the more you do this work and the self-worth comes in, and you just expand your bandwidth and increase your capacity to hold these realities and to be in reality as well, everything shifts. So if you guys want to start working on channeling realms, go for it. You know what I mean? Like, why not? Just play with it, test it out. It's really fun. And now I'm going to pull 3 different cards for you guys from the typical tarot deck, my Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle deck, and my Archangel Michael deck. So I'm going to start with Archangel Michael, and he is an entity that you can open a channel to. The way I open it myself to Archangel Michael, a lot of times it's through visions. He sends me many, many visions. The way he speaks to me, it's like almost telepathically. I mean, all of it's telepathically, but it's almost like he communicates without himself opening up his mouth. It's like a communication almost through his third eye or heart chakra. It's a whole other thing. So, and it's a he/she, by the way. Archangel Michael is an entity that holds very equally the male and female energy systems. Okay, so the first card is Lean on God and the Angels for Support. Amen. You are not alone, you guys. You are, even though we are behind the veil, meaning we can't see all these other realities and beings near us, we are constantly always surrounded, and we're not as alone as we often feel. So I'm going to read the prayer to this. It says, Dear God and Angels, I give you this, and then you briefly describe your situation. And you don't have to say this word for word. You can get the gist of this and say this prayer. So, Dear God and Angels, I give you this situation, whatever your situation is, now and completely. I step out of the way and allow divine miracles to shine through everyone and everything involved. Amen. So whatever situation's upsetting you, you include it right now. You hold it up to Archangel Michael and God and Goddess and whoever, and just step divinely out of the way. We try to control everything as if we know best. Trust that the universe has a miraculous plan for you, and just step out of the way. Let it unfold, let it happen organically, and trust that the odds are in your favor, bringing in Hunger Games shit in a real dark way. But for real, somehow you're being looked after, and you don't have to control everything. And lean on, once again, God, Goddess, and the Angels for Support. And for me, God always includes Goddess, but I like saying both God and Goddess now. Okay, so that's the first card. Now I'm pulling from my Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle deck. Plant the seed of a new template. Amen. And the card is called Anastasia and the Ringing Cedars of Russia. Beautiful. And of course, there's this wolf in it. And there's a pine tree with this amazing blue halo light coming from it, reminding us of the divinity of trees and the beings that they are. They're often more than what meets the eye, I'll say that. And then you've got this beautiful goddess wearing this beautiful white, blue, gray dress. And she has a very almost like somber, serious look. She's holding a pine cone. And it's like, we all want to live in this new world where we're in community and we support each other and we want each other to be who we truly are. And you have to be the one to plant the seed of the new template. You have to be the one to help show people the way that you want this to go. And it's by standing in your grace and power and holding boundaries in a way that have mercy to them. You know, setting a boundary isn't about being mean. It's about trying to do something healthy for you and whoever else. Or it's a boundary between you and a thing. It could be you and a boundary with food, weed, drinking, gambling, porn, working out, anything. So you have to be the one, though, to plant the seed and know what seed feels comfortable for you. You are the only one who knows what seed needs to come through. So if you want to see a different world with boundaries and love and connection and communication and all that stuff, you have to be the one to start trying to do it. So it's harder, it's, you know, easier said than done, but it really stems from knowing your worth. And I think the more we know our worth and really devote ourselves to growth and truth, the more that this new template can really be created. So, but it's all up to us to do this. So that's that card. And your last one is going to be from the typical tarot deck. I'm using the Mother Peace deck that was given to me by an amazing, incredible healer. Okay, so this is the Three of Wands. Oh, this is all about creation and celebration and art. Like, we're all here to create beautiful art with our lives. And art doesn't mean you have to pick up a paintbrush unless you want to. It's like, what do you want to create for this life? What excites you the most? That's why it's all about following your highest excitement, or following your passion, your dreams, your heart, your joy, whatever you want to call it. We're all looking to follow that thing, but it's a big ass spark. It's a fire within our heart. And it's not just about romance. It's about career, and it's about parent or not being a parent. It's like, you get to decide what makes your soul light on fire in a good way. And we all want to be those excited children that we once were and that are still very much alive in us. It's the whole Peter Pan thing once again. It's like, you want to find the fountain of youth within. That's why I was talking about altitude, the trampoline park. It's like, we want to jump, we want to dance, we want to be alive. And that includes, it's non-duality, the light and the dark. And when I say the dark, it's like, that's why I love Danielle Bregoli. It's not just about always being like this quote unquote good girl. And then her name's Bad Baby. It's like, we all have a part of us that wants to be bad. I mean, look at the movie Grease. That's about Olivia Newton-John claiming her like naughty bad girl. That's why I love the movie Cry Baby with Johnny Depp. It's like, we all want to hold the rock star within that like has a cigarette in its mouth, whether or not you smoke. But then we also want to be that really wholesome, beautiful, innocent child that we all still are as well. And that's non-duality, is being able to hold space for both. So just really allow yourself to claim those things and celebrate yourself and really start getting honest about what you want to do with your days. A lot of you might start wanting to leave jobs you no longer like, or relationships that make you feel stuck, or friendships that are hurting you, or whatever. You know, and it can be even more subtle and simpler than that. Like, oh, I was supposed to go to this restaurant, but now I think I'm going to go to this other one. Like, you are allowed to feel into what makes you happy. So everyone, keep following your heart, following your joy. Another reminder, I'm not always quote unquote nice. I have to say that over and over because it's something I'm working through. It's like, to be a healer, to be authentic, it's not just about always being like, yeah, and making people feel good. Like, it can include some hardcore, amazing boundaries. And it can include your love for fucking hip hop and gangsta ass rap. Because Danielle Bregoli, man, she's got some hard ass lyrics and I fucking love them. I really hope I get to meet her one day. Can you imagine I meet her and she's just mean to me? I'd be like, oh, well, what are you going to do? But hopefully not, because I really, really respect her as an artist. And you have to check out her video, Gucci Flip Flops. It's incredible. Okay, so let's see. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at the Kate Wolf, 2 F's. If you would like a healing, they're $100. They will be going up soon from that. And my email is kwolf2f27@gmail.com. This weekend, I am at Atlantic City Comedy Club, Friday and Saturday, 7 to 9 o'clock shows, dancing afterwards. I would love to see you there. And I'm trying to think what else. Check out my album, 1111. I don't know when, you know what, I might actually put this out tomorrow, which is Wednesday before Dragon Sorcery. So if you're listening to this, Dragon Sorcery is this Wednesday night. You might be listening to this after it comes out, but I'm going to put it out now, Wednesday, I think, at least for tomorrow. But yeah, so Dragon Sorcery is the 29th at 7, promo code DRAGON. I would love to see you guys there. Seriously, I don't know if I'm going to be doing it once a month anymore. I might be spreading it out. So if you've been wanting to check it out, come, you know, see it. And I have amazing comedians on there. I've got Nori Davis, Christine Meehan, Karen Feehan, and Russ Gutten, and they're all incredible. So that's Promo Dragon. It's at New York Comedy Club, the Gramercy location. So if you're hearing it and it's Wednesday and you don't have anything to do at night and you live in the tri-state area, I would love to have you there. Yeah, and thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. I never know how to get the fuck off these things. All right, bye.